Tov. Okay, so we're learning with Hashem's help. We're learning some more Ganemuna. We're in a section dealing with the fact that Hashem rebukes, reproves the one he loves, and how important, how necessary it is for us to receive that. Although from our perspective, it looks like we're suffering. We feel the suffering. Rav Arash writes like this. Kol avodat ha'adam hi limtzo b'toch ma she'over alav me'Hashem yibarach v'otzeh mimenu. All of the work of a person is to find inside everything that passes, everything that happens to him, to find what Hashem wants from him. What does Hashem want from me? Throughout all of this, this life, the ups and the downs, the tests, suffering, what does Hashem want from me? Mahu mara mezla, what is he hinting to me? And for what purpose, to what end is he directing me, is he taking me to? And even though that a person doesn't and even though for the person himself, a lot of times it seems like suffering and pain, sometimes it also feels that Hashem is destroying his entire world. But in truth, this suffering is actually his entire completion. Shein yoteh shalem mimena. That you can't get any more complete than this. No matter what we're experiencing, even if it feels like our entire world is being destroyed in front of our face, or the rug is being pulled out from under our feet, or whatever other
analogies.
That's the word, yes. Thank you. Analogies you want to bring. Right? It's not fun. Even if it really looks very bad, we have to know that this is complete good. There's no better good than this. Hashem is giving us at all times the best that we need. Because only through this particular test, this particular suffering, only through this, and he puts this bit in bold, if it's received with emunah, can a person reach his tachlit? This is what Hashem knows I need. If it could be any easier or any simpler, I would have got it in a different way. But this exact type of situation, this exact suffering that I need to go through, is exactly what I need to go through to reach my tachlit. Shebishvila hu nivra, for this I was created. This is what I was created for. V'lochaya oshev hamitim lenetzach netzachim. In order to complete my tachlit, my purpose down here, and in order to live a life of true happiness, everlasting. Ki aideh amunah hu yishmach lelokom. Because through amunah, a person is happy with his lot. He thanks Hashem on all the lackings that he has, because he understands, he believes, that he needs this lacking in order to reach his purpose in life. And therefore he can always be happy because this is a required condition in order to know. In order to know the path, his unique path. Hashem is putting me on a unique path. My unique path means I have to go through different types of difficulties, tests, suffering. But I need to remember all the time during those tests that they're exactly what I need. They're for my ultimate good. Therefore, a person that wants or that tries to succeed in life, and he finds that when he turns right, he's stuck, can't go anywhere. And then he turns left, and he finds he's stuck there too, and he can't go anywhere. Without emunah, he's likely to get upset and bitter, very bitter, and to think that his life is not moving anywhere. Right? We have times in our life where we just can't get anywhere. Seems like we can't get anywhere. We want to achieve something, and then it's just not happening. Right? Person wants to get married, he goes on this shidduch, nothing happening, goes on that shidduch, nothing's happening. Person wants to get a job, he goes for this interview, nothing's going on. Goes for that one, nothing's going on. Changes his CV, tries something else, doesn't happen. Right? What do you want from me, Hashem? I'm trying everything here. It's not going right nor left. Person can think that life is, his life has been closed, right? But through emunah and through belief in hashkacha pratit, he's not confused and he's not stressed and he's not confused from anything. He believes that also this lacking is for his own good, and he looks for a way to understand the which way and on what path he should try to turn. Right? So what happens? So let's take our example that person's trying to get a job, needs parnasa for his family. He tries to get a job. So he tries this way, he tries that way, it's not working. CV here, not working. CV there, not working. So now, he can either get very bitter, get very upset, or to stay with his emunah and say to himself, what is Hashem trying to do to me here? What does Hashem want from me here? Obviously Hashem is sending me a message. Hashem is giving it to me. He wants me to have parnasa, right? It's obvious. If he wanted me to waste away and die, chas v'shalom. So there's plenty of ways of doing that, right? So that can't be the plan, right? It's not Hashem's plan anyway, but there's obviously something going on here. So if I hold by my emunah and I turn to Hashem and I try and see what does Hashem want from me here? What's missing? What am I doing wrong? What about this is not part of what Hashem wants? So then I can start looking and see, what do I need to change? Does he want me to get a different job? Does he want me to not get a job at all? Does he want me to start my own business? Does he want me to commit to learning first and put my learning first and my job second? I know what it is, but there's something that Hashem is trying to teach me that's going to be very helpful. That's going to bring me forward in life if I see Hashem. If I don't see Hashem, I'm just going to keep battering away until I give up, or, so to speak, Hashem gives up on me. Right, and I get whatever job it is, and I miss the opportunity of learning what it is that Hashem wants from me. And the same with any test in life, right? Shalom bayit, right? My shalom bayit's not going okay. I'm trying everything I'm trying, and it's still not. Nothing's budging. What's Hashem trying to tell me? And likewise with any of the problems that we face. וכך הוא זוכה להגיע לייעוד שלו, לממש את שליחותו. And this way a person achieves his purpose, achieves what he was sent down here for. להגיע לשלמות שלו, to achieve his completeness, his personal completeness. When a person completes, what we're really working on is we're really working on our midot. So what I'm asking, what does Hashem want from me here? Hashem wants me to get a different job. Hashem wants me to try and go into business myself. Hashem doesn't care. Meaning, it's not relevant whether I work in a pizza shop or I work in a library or what's relevant is what's going on inside me. So that's the bit that ultimately needs to change. That's the bit that that Hashem is talking to. And that's the bit that we need to see which part of me needs to change. And Hashem is not telling me change my CV and add on to it some references or, I don't know, change the focus and direct it more towards. He's telling me, what do I need to work on? More anava, more humility, more emunah. V'akol b'kalut, v'akol b'kalut, v'kashtut u'banan. And everything, Hashem wants me to achieve a place which is complete, a place of ease, a place of simplicity and of comfort. Because certainly, it's easy for him for this person who is listening to Hashem to go down the correct path, because he's listening and paying attention to the hints that Hashem is showing him. But a person who does not have emunah, then he's confused and he's stubborn, and it's almost impossible for him to be fixed. What's he saying? He's saying like this. The message here that we need to look for Hashem in everything. We need to look for what Hashem is trying to tell me. If I'm looking, I'm going to get the hints. And I can be guided very easily and comfortably and simply through the hints that Hashem is sending me. Like, this is not going to work. This is, right, I make a phone call, he doesn't answer. So fine, I'm going to leave it. I'm not going to push it and bang away. I'm going to follow Hashem's hints. I'm going to see that Hashem is guiding me. Because the way a person wants to go, Hashem deals with him, mida keneged mida. So a person can say, let's say for example, I'm going to stick with the job example. I'm looking for a job. I don't know, right, let's say for me, if I need a job, I don't know if I should go back into law, or I should try something new. But I'm looking for the hints that Hashem is sending me. So what do I do? So, I make some forays, I make some, right? And I put out the feelers and see what the response is. And the response is like, it's just not happening, right? Just from limited, yeah, then that's not the direction. Why? Because I'm looking for Hashem in it. I'm looking for Hashem's response. But a person can say, yeah, but wait a minute, maybe you just need to try harder. Right? You didn't try very hard, you just put out a few feelers and you got a few knockbacks. And how can you, if you actually were gonna, you might have got somewhere. So, my understanding of the way Hashem runs the world is Hashem's not here to fool us or to trick us. And he works mida keneged mida. If he knows that I'm looking for his messages, I'm very open, Hashem, I'm looking for your messages. If this is gonna work, it's gonna work for me. And if it's not, you're gonna show me, and I'm gonna take your message. Then when Hashem is giving, then when an event occurs, it's only from him. And it's not logical, certainly my logic, that Hashem is trying to fool me, that Hashem, I told you, if this is going to work, then I'm going to understand from this. And if not, you're going to have to show me. And then I get a message that this is not working. Hashem is like, I didn't want you to, no, don't pay attention to that. If you would have just stayed the course, you would have... Because I've already stated my intentions. And you can fool me by giving me something that looks like it's exactly what I asked for as a sign. And you give me that sign. And then you're like, and then Hashem is metaphorically speaking going, oh, don't look at that sign, that was just a joke, that was just a test. Hashem doesn't work like that. Hashem is working mida keneged mida. That I know from what I'm looking for. If I'm not a person who's going to look for tests, then I'm just going to go ahead and do what I want anyway. I want to be in the law. I'm going to go and knock on doors until it happens. Well, fine. then I'm trying to do what I want to do. I'm not trying to do what he wants to do. But if I want to do what he wants to do, I'm saying, Hashem, I want to do what you want to do. But you need to show me, you need to direct me. I'll give you an example. Practical example. About 4 or 5 years ago, we moved house before I came to Jerusalem. We moved to Yad Binyamin. I was in the Gush Etzion. Various things were happening. We saw it was good for us to move. I had no clue where to move to. A few places where Anglos are, Jews are, form community, at that time not too Haredi. But we didn't know if it was going to be good for us. One place was called Yad Binyamin. There was another place that we also thought of. I won't mention his name because we didn't go there. I said to Hashem, I don't know if this place is going to be good for me. In fact, Yad Binyamin is where we eventually ended up. I've never been here before. I've heard of it from friends, and some friends were also looking to move there at the time. And they said it was a very, you know, good place for various reasons. But it might be completely wrong for us. Where we'd just been wasn't the right place, evident by the fact we're now moving. You need to show me. Shem, you need to show me whether or not this is the place for me. I'm waiting for the sign, and I'm waiting. Right? So what happened? Friday morning, myself and my wife, kids are in school, myself and my wife got in the car. We drove to Yad Binyamin. I'd never been in there before. I had no idea where to drive, where to go, what am I looking for. I drove in, picked a random road to drive down in the Yad Binyamin. Now, I knew no one in Yad Binyamin. No one. Except I was aware that someone we'd known in London 10 years before had moved there. I hadn't seen him for 10 years. Johnny Russell. Tough. That's the only person I knew of. So I'm Friday morning driving down this road. Pick random road. The first road I picked. As I drive down that road, a guy comes out of his house with his garbage bag to his garbage bin. I'm driving down slowly because we're just like looking at the houses and looking at them. And I'm just, edging along the road. I say, isn't that Johnny Russell? So, yeah, it's Johnny Russell. So I stopped around the window down. He comes over and says, hey, how you doing? And I said, Tom, we schmoozed a bit on the pavement. He said, what are you doing here? So I said, well, yeah, we're here actually. You're looking to see if we're going to move here. And he said, oh, come in. So we came in, we sat down, we had coffee. He says to me, me and my wife, but we were both there. He says, you know what, you need to come for Shabbos if you want to see the place. So I said, come to us for Shabbos. So I said to him, okay, great, that would be a very good idea, thank you very much. So he said, when are you talking? He said, tonight, Friday, come tonight. Great, okay, drove back home, got the kids, packed up, drove back, stayed with them for Shabbos. That Shabbos happened to be, coincidentally, their 1 year anniversary of Aliyah. And they'd invited pretty much the whole Yeshiva, certainly the Anglo part of it, to their home for whatever, Friday night. So in the space of probably like 7 or 8 hours, we got from knowing no one, zero, and nothing about the place. I could have driven in and drove out and been on the wiser. And we met everyone, found out everything there was to, right? And decided that place. That's one half of the story. The other half is like this. We thought, fine, this is a place for us to go. Hashem, that was a beautiful time. Thank you very much. Very, very grateful. We tried to buy a place. Looked and looked. Nothing was moving. Nothing was moving. And we needed to find something because we'd already sold our place in where we were moving. So we thought, maybe it's not the right place. Maybe this is the sign. Hashem, it's not the right place. So there was one other place on our list. Like, it was between these two places. So we said, you know what, Hashem? We're going to go to that other place. We're going to look there. We hadn't looked at anything there because the first place we tried was Yad Binyamin. Everything had turned out right. So we hadn't looked at this other place. Maybe the other place is better. So I said to Hashem the same thing. Hashem, I'm going to drive to this place now. If this is the place you want me to be, you need to show me. I have no clue. Right? I'm going to do what you want. Right? I'm following your lead here. We got in the car. We drove to this place. We drove to the area of this place that's known as like the Anglo stronghold. Me and my wife said nothing to each other the whole time. We drove in the car, I drove round, drove a few circles, drove through, and then I just turned towards the exit and carried on driving out. My wife said nothing, I said nothing to her. We got out and she looked at me and I looked at her and just went. We both just got a feeling. I didn't even stop the car there. I just carried on driving and drove out. So this, we can't live. This is not us. This is. Right, thank you, Hashem. That was the sign. And we eventually went back to the other place. We found somewhere, the first place that we actually saw. We ended up buying that. But what's the message? The message here is that Hashem is sending us signs and he's not trying to fool us. But we have to be prepared to listen to them. In that situation, I was less invested in it. I didn't really care. You can choose city A or city B, town A or town B. I don't really care. Right? Whatever you want. I'm with you 100%. And so it was easy for me to put my faith in Hashem to, I don't care. You want us to buy this house or buy this? I'm not so invested in it. So it was, so to speak, relatively easy to follow his signs and to go with it. Therefore, I think relatively easy for Hashem to send me fairly clear signs I can follow. With other things where we're more invested, it's harder. Right? Hashem, do you really want me to have this iPhone that I love so dearly? And then the thing doesn't turn on. No, that's not a sign. Give me some sign that I can, right? Right? And we don't hold by that. That's not a real sign, right? Yeah, give me a real sign. And drops on the floor, right? So, and we're still, right? But Hashem, nonetheless, is telling us and talking to us and giving us those messages. And he's not trying to fool us. And it's according to how much a person wants to, wants to do.
Wants to believe.
Mm-hmm. I'm convinced, not only logically, but also from personal experience, Hashem's not tripping us up. Anything and every decision that we make based on him, reasonable, not just like, I know. I think I should invest in watermelons now because this is a big site. Reasonable, right? Any reasonable decision we make based on speaking to Hashem, and this is what I understand that you want me to do. And if you don't want me to do this, then you better tell me because I'm about to do it, right? So it's not going to trip us up. It's not going to be bad. It's going to be exactly what he wants. It might be difficult.
But if you want a sign, he can give you a sign. Case in point, we were looking at an apartment. So we had a structural engineer come in to really check it out. So I said, I did 3 hours of photo. I said, Shem, give me a sign that even I can see. And so it was an overcast day. It was sort of raining. Come in, and there's water coming out from the ceiling in the kitchen.
Right, so that was...
That was a definite sign.
You didn't buy that apartment.
You needed a structural engineer.
Right? So we don't need a structural engineer. Right? We can... But sometimes, wherever we're holding, sometimes we do. We want 3 reports and whatever, and then I'm still not sure.
Do you think Hashem will? I know he answers prayers, but do you think the prayers that you ask for, he will do help you with just because you're asking him, or do you have to? Does it have to be a reason why he will do it?
No. Well, one of the things that we need to learn, it's difficult for us to learn, all of us, to learn about Hashem, is that Hashem does everything for no reason. Right? It's a love which has no, what's the word? No,
unconditional.
Right, completely unconditional.
Yeah.
It's not to do with what we do. Right? We need to get out of the mindset that he only does that if we're good and we don't deserve it, and look at me, and I don't deserve stuff, and look at the great Gedolim, they deserve stuff, but I don't. It's a big Yetzer Hara.
And so we're just doing the commandments because we have a close connection to God, or because that's what he's telling us to do?
Ultimately, because that's what he's telling us to do. Mm-hmm. Right? And we can try and understand reasons, but they're real reasons because he said to. Even the reason for the commandments themselves. Some of them we try and understand that this is, like, we do this because this is chesed and this is a good thing and this is good midot. But ultimately, the commandments.
This is the commandment from God.
from God for our own good. They help fix. There's many different ways of looking at commandments. Right? There's 248 positive commandments and represent the arm, the limbs.
So they started with
all different ideas.
They started with 15 and they dropped one and became 10. And then remember he had 15 commandments and he dropped one?
No, don't remember that bit.
He said 15 and whoops and 10 commandments.
That was Mel Brooks'
History of the World.
Yeah, History of the World.
Okay, so now that's not based on Torah.
That didn't happen. So just 10 commandments. And then to Moses,
The 10 that he received were just 10. They're not the only 10, and then some more got added on.
Okay.
They were. They're 10. There's different ways of looking at the 10 commandments. 10 commandments which contain all the others within them. Certainly the first two.
Oh, I see.
Two. But there was a big in the. In the previous years, centuries, I don't know when exactly it came up, but there was a time when it was forbidden to stand up for the Ten Commandments when they read it in shul. Why? Because people will start to think that the Ten Commandments was it, and everything else was secondary. So it was forbidden to stand up for the Ten Commandments, because that's why there's no Ten Commandments in. Also, the reason why we don't say the Ten Commandments at all in Shacharit, but they're left to the end of Shacharit. People sometimes read them at the end of Shacharit. Right, because we want to get away from the fact that there's 10 commandments and that's Judaism and the rest is just right. It's not the idea.
So you're saying that it's not only the 10 commandments. There's a lot. The rest of
everything. Everything. Well, we understand that on Har Sinai, Moshe got the entire Torah, not just 10 commandments. 10 were written on stone, and why 10 were written on stone? Because 10 is very important. There's 10 sayings of creation. There's 10 sefirot, including the 7 and the 3, which are above the 7. So 10 is very
good number.
It's not a good number. There is like a fundamental root of everything else that comes out
number.
Of the 10.
Huh? It's a it's more than prime.
It's a top. I don't know.
Essential.
Right.
Meaningful. Top. But so, and each there's a lot for us. That we don't know.
But there's some we can sort of guess at and some we can't, such as the Paradumo. Even Shlomo Hamelo
couldn't
even understand that. Whereas some things like studying the calendar through the new moon.
Yes, but I mean, if God told Moses about the whole Bible, isn't there five chapters? But did that even happen at that point?
So, there's different ways to understand what exactly Moshe was told when, in terms of the Chumash.
Oh, okay.
Right? Did he write? Did he get it all on? Or what did he get on Mount Sinai? Did he get just the commandments?
Oh,
and then,
okay.
And then, as they were going through the desert, as it was happening, he wrote the rest down.
Oh.
On the way, there's different ways of explaining exactly.
That makes a little more sense.
Right? Because maybe just the laws were given on Har Sinai and the actual writing it down in the form of the Torah came.
Mm-hmm. But there was no such thing as, like, do you ever sit in that, when you were younger, sit in a circle and then somebody would make up, say, a sentence and then he would tell the next person and they would tell, and by the time it came back to the same person, it was totally different.
Right, telephone.
Yeah,
broken telephone. Yeah. The laws of we see from the laws of writing a Sefer Torah. The laws of writing a Sefer Torah are very, very strict in terms of the copying a Sefer Torah has to be copied from a kosher Sefer Torah, and any letter wrong, the whole thing's passel. You've got to throw it away. Right, we're very, very
two different Sefer Torahs.
You have to use two different ones and compare them with right.
Right.
They're very extremely strict on copying.
And also, the majority of information was passed down orally.
Right, that's what a little bit that is scary. Right.
Yeah, but that's because our oral. That's because we look at us. We don't. The oral transmission in the previous it was perfect. It's not like us. Right, the story of the time of the Baal Shem Tov, that a wagon, all the wagon drivers, they knew the Mishnayot, right, perfectly by heart. Story: one wagon driver that was at stopped in an inn, starts talking to his friend, and they're going through Mishnayot, and he realizes he forgot one of the Mishnayot. He decided to take a year off to relearn them all. So we're talking different different generation, different ideas. Plus, look, the other answer is Hashem is running the show. Hashem is running the entire thing. Hashem is not going to create the world where he has a Torah which is perfect, and then generation after generation, there's broken telephone tick kicks in and it ends up being so, right? And he is, so to speak, scratching his head going, what are you guys doing down there? This is just completely wrong. That's not what I said. Right? It's not, right? Hashem is in control of every little detail. The exact Torah and the exact law and the exact Shulchan Aruch and the exact reading is exactly what we need to be reading and exactly what he wants and his will to position.
You think so?
100%. It's the what's the alternative?
What's the
other picture that you can paint? The other picture you can paint is we got it wrong somehow, and Hashem is sitting there. I know what happened down there, but it all started to go wrong after
they decided to guard the mitzvah so strongly that maybe they put so many boundaries and gates on the mitzvah or the commandment that maybe they're just doing it. It's just too extreme.
Whatever we're doing now, in any way you look at it, has to be exactly what God wants. Has to be. God is running the entire show, right? And we can see that from our lives. You see that from history. You see that from... He's running the entire show. Therefore, whatever we have is exactly what he wants us to have. And the way we're serving him now is exactly the way he wants us to serve him. Because this is the information we have. So when I listen to my rabbis, and I read, and I learn from these books, this is exactly what Hashem wants me to be learning, and exactly what he wants me to be following. Otherwise, he would be giving me something else.
Or a sign or something.
Right, so I know that this is Hashem's will. I am following Hashem's will. How do I know? Because this is what you're giving me. And it doesn't even matter if it was completely different. Let's say you're 100% right. And it was completely different Torah that was given on Hasina. I think that's completely wrong. But let's just say,
if
that was true, I don't think it is at all. But even if that was true, the fact that now I have this Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and I'm now learning this, means that Hashem wants me to learn this. This is what how he wants me to serve him, according to this page. And that's all I need to know. I don't need to worry about whether it was the same halacha that Rabbi Akiva also washed his hands three times like this as well. I have no doubt that he did, but it doesn't bother me, because what I need to do is what I need to do. Hashem gave me instructions for my life right here, right now, and that's what I need to follow. It's important to know where it came from and tradition, and to understand and to believe, and part of my serving him is to believe that we've been doing the same thing for 2,000 years and there's been no change. But the practical day-to-day, to know that whatever Hashem is teaching me, this is what I need to do. This is who I am. He created me. If he created me, I don't know, as something else, he would have created me as something else. Created me as a female notary living in Bermuda, then that's what I'd be doing, and I have to serve him however right here he created. But he didn't. He created me as a Jew, male Jew, now living in Israel, in Choshet. This is what he wants from me. And I need to do that to the best of my ability. Tov, Shabbat Shalom.
So that's both of us.
Yeah.